Supportive in many ways, so it's really great to see them and work together. Sam is executive vice president, I think, is that right, on outer stuff? Of course, Mr. Werbiter is the CEO of that company. A really interesting company, but we'll hear a little more about that soon. I'd like to introduce Professor Gaskell, who teaches sports management for us. As you well know, nobody loves sports more than Professor Gaskell. And in the context of his sports peregrinations, he met Mr. Werbiter, who works in that industry, and we'll hear more about it shortly.
Thank you very much. And so I'll try to be brief, but can't really read too much the wonderful things Sal Schoenberg does. So 5 years ago, I didn't realize it was so long ago, I got invited through a friend of mine who was a physician with the Nets to the NBA All-Star Game in Charlotte. And because my friend was in Havelis, I said I would get a meeting for him. And of course, you call Chabad. But Chabad was outside of Charlotte, so I said I'll make arrangements for a secretary meeting. And I called Chabad. He said, no problem. We'll take care of it. And then he said, we have to approach the food. He said, no problem. Needless to know that someone in the outer stuff is already ahead of me. So Friday night, I made arrangements at secretary. So Friday night, I didn't know that there's a tradition that in every NBA All-Star Game is a Friday night hot meal that he hosts for anyone who wants it, 50, 60, 70 people not invited. And we dive in there. He has a suite, and we dive in there. It was lovely, sumptuous. Every NBA All-Star here, that's how I first met him. The next morning in the suite, I arranged for St. Guitar, a friend of mine, Ben and Hazan, Lane. We have a Shabbos 40 minion. Needless to say, that at that minion, we had Sidurim, that was printed by Avos Nabatez, NBA All-Star Game, Shabbos dinner, February 15th, 2019. He printed Sidurim as part of the All-Star weekend. Fortunately, it was so smart, I let it go, but it was beautiful. And at that minion, some members, anyway, I was invited, we had a good crowd. Some members of Adam Silver's office came and took back a number of them because the meeting became part of the official NBA All-Star Weekend. I heard it was true this weekend. Imagine the meeting as part of the commission's office. So it was really, really, and then I thought we had to worry about much. No, it was a hot kiddush catered by Chabad. It was arranged by Solomon and Halberstam. That's how I first exposed him. I said, what a Kiddush Hashem that someone Krishna Lord did at the NBA. If you ever have been to the Cinema Shas, I've been to the last two at MetLife Stadium, absolutely just because of the work of Solomon Werbiter. So let me quote something. Again, his weekly is now CEO, he's chairman of Agoda Israel. So let me quote something. It's a little wrong, but that's what he wrote being at the most recent NBA All-Star Weekend in Las Vegas. I thought about this last Shabbos when I was away at my home for business. It's never pleasant to be away from home, but I do so on days on the yard side of the Beit Israel. Being there was the support of the Beit Israel Agoda. It's my first Rebbe. Aside from Israel and rebuilding a nation, he invested personal kaiches, right, into me. That's Mother Shabbos. All I wanted was to be sitting in the shtibel with chaverim, eating malav malkin and reminiscing. And instead, I was figuratively a million miles away in the Nevada desert, surrounded by the northern height of a major sporting event. He was in Las Vegas for the NBA All-Star Game. I stood in a hotel room, contemplating moments spent by my Rebbe in silence and feeling pain by distance, longing to be sitting with Hasidim. I had a sense of clarity. This too, I realized, was a form of connection with the Rebbe. And how to quote the words of Hazel, that when a person lights one candle from another, First Lane does not lose any of its light. It may be, said Ribby, the name of the spot that shines even brighter once it has been lit. Walking out into a noisy hotel lobby, I realized that this was my Nisia. All around me, there were Nishamas, though like many of them, they never had the privilege of learning Allah's ways or being taught to say Shema Yisrael. But now, over the last few months, they are confronting their Jewishness again, newly aware of the undeniable fact that this nation is distinct, if just by virtue of their DNA, they are getting the message of hate. Then we have to be there to give them the messages of love. Why the study is reminding them of their identity as Jews. Now the task is to show them the beauty of our inheritance. With renewed fervor, I left the hotel room and seized every chance to interact with Abi Eden in every level of American life, in every room, there are shovels. I accepted every chance to sit with the young people that I was given, every opportunity to speak of what it means for a family to have Shabbos together, for a woman to light candles, and for a child to be able to connect with his father through learning. Every year, in every office, airport, waiting room, and store can conduct himself with dignity, with pride, and act in a way that is friendly and warm to everyone he encounters. Your hearts are open. We have to be ready to give. This may utter, I wasn't in the shtibl with the crusty color of the most fish. Spirit of Zmeros and Lachayim, I was with Yidim trying to connect, and I knew that to the Rebbe, that was the most important thing in the world. This is Sal Shlomo Werdiger. He was in Las Vegas, and he was doing Kiddush Hashem. I introduce a wonderful person that I'm so happy to meet, Talmidim at the College for Men.
Thank you. So first of all, thank you very much, Rishus, Rashi Yeshiva, Mashgichim, the deans, professors. I'm really not sure why I'm here. This is a yeshiva. You have Sichoshim of Bnei Torah. I went downstairs. The mismanage was cochin, like they say. It was really going. And you know, Dibrei Torah. Even though this coming parsha, Parshas Kisisa, is not only my mitzvah parsha, it's also my offer parsha. So I have a connection, and I have a lot of things to say Parshas Kisisa. But that's not why I'm here, and that's not what you're looking for me for. I think that the reason that I'm here, it's a lot different than being out in Las Vegas or in Indianapolis at the All-Star game. Here, at least, I'm dealing with Bnei Torah, with people that are really from, that sit and learn, that are kaveh from the Torah. And it's a little different message, I think, that I would like to give over to you, share some of my experiences, some of my stories, which I don't know if today in the age of communication and internet, some of you may have heard them. If you did, be polite and, you know, laugh anyway and clap anyway. But it's hard to, but I think the mashal that I want to give you and the message that I want to give you is, and it's a little bit in this week's Parsha in Kisisa about the eagle, but I'll get to that in a second, is that who you are, your yeshiva man, your regardless of whether you're learning, you're going to college, you're going out to the workplace, eventually you're going to build your own homes, you're going to go out. The message is that there's no separation between your life now and what you're going to be doing in the future. There's no such thing. You can't say to yourself, you know, now I'm sitting, I'm learning, I'm graduating, and I'm going to go out and into the business world. I'm going to conduct my life later on. And it's a separation of church and state. It's two separate things. That can't be. I think the yisod, the foundation of what you're getting here right now, as to teach you that there's no such thing as two separate lives. It's not a life now as a bacher, a life as a younger man, you can get married, a life as a businessman. Who you are is who you are.
And everybody in their own inimitable way, everybody here, whether you know it or not, in your own way, whatever you do, okay, you could do, you can make a Kiddush Hashem in what you do every single day. Every single day, you could go out, who am I? I'm just a kid. That's not true. You could make, you set a good example, you can make a Kiddush Hashem. But the most important thing is you can't separate out your lives. There has to be consistency in everything that you do. And I'm gonna give you a mashal. I tell this to my kids. Sam sees it every single day. I'm not gonna repeat some of the older stories, but I'm gonna tell you a great story that just happened literally a few months ago. I get a call from a young man. A secretary tells me there's some young man. He says he's a young man, he just got married. He'd like to come up. It's urgent that he comes up and says something. He wants to say something to me. So I fit him in, he comes up, and he literally breaks down and he hugs me. He tells me the following story. Unbelievable story. He says he was working as an accountant. You have a good accounting course here. He was working as an accountant for many years. He was working in a big accounting firm. He says the accounting firm was actually a Jewish firm, but nobody there wore the yarmulkes. Nobody wore a yarmulke in the firm. That was the firm. Says he sees a job posting for an accountant at the MBA. He sees a posting, it's a job at the MBA. So he applies for the job. So he goes to his first interview, and he goes for a second interview, and of course he's not wearing a yarmulke at the job, at the interview. He goes for a third interview, and they ask him to come back, and they want to make him an offer. They want to make him an offer. So the way it works is, he comes in, he has an interview, and he says, they're sitting across from this HR person who is a woman, and she slips him like an envelope, and he says, read it, that's our offer letter to you. So he opens it up, and it's a very, very nice offer. It was a lucrative job. And he says, I think it's time that I tell them that I'm Shomer Shabbos, that I can't work on the Shabbos, and I can't work on Yom Tov. So he tells this woman, all of a sudden he sees the woman reaching the hand out across the table, pulls back the letter, and says, the offer is rescinded. Looks, he says, what did I do? He says, what did you do? He says, the woman says, you're not an honest person. What do you mean? If you're really religious and you don't work on Shabbos and you don't work on Yom Tov and you eat kosher, where's your yarmulke? That's what the woman at the MBA tells this guy. Guy's looking, he's flabbergasted. She says, what do you mean? We work with the Werdigers, we work with Saul and his kids, Sam. He says, if you would give me a book on my sin, you're not really, you just want the day off. We don't want to hire, we're not going to hire somebody that's a dishonest person. He says, he turned red in the face and he reached into his pocket and he puts on his yarmulke. And she says to him, we'll give you back the offer, but only if you wear that yarmulke every day. You have to wear the yarmulke. How could you be from and religious without wearing a yarmulke? The next day I got a call from the commissioner, from Adam Silver himself, to Saul. And he's my friend. When I did the invocation when he became commissioner, I got up there and made the bracha for the new commission, and he signed me the first ball. He signed me his first ball. And he called me up. He said, Saul, don't you ever complain. We have our first employee walking around the office with a yarmulke. What's the lesson? The lesson is that, again, I'm not criticizing this young man for doing what he had to do and walking and working in the accounting firm and not wearing the yarmulke. I'm not a rav, you have plenty of rav. I'm not telling you what to do, what not to do. But who you are defines who you are. And if you do it the right way, if you do it with consistency, if you're from, they know that you're religious and you act accordingly. You know, we are the Amal Nivcha. You know, we're the chosen people, whether you believe it or not, that's really who we are. We are the Amal Nivcha, we're the chosen people. We make a difference in this world. We make a difference in this world. But that the MBA should identify a from Jew means that you are who you are. You keep Shabbos, you wear a yarmulke. You know, I had a story before Sam joined my company. I had a woman, an old Italian woman. We have a minyan, mincha, ma'ariv, there are rabbonim that come up to the office. We have meetings of the miyantzis gedolei HaTorah in my office. My office life is a continuity. It's a continuation of who I am, of who we are at home. There's no such thing as separating out your lives. I had her at an Italian receptions, Marie. Right? She worked for me maybe for 30 years or 40 years. I think they took her straight from my office, straight to the base of Haim's. That's how long she worked for me. I couldn't get rid of her. And I gave her a pushka. She had in my office, I had a pushka. And I said, listen, if a rabbi comes up and has an appointment, of course he has an appointment. But if not, don't you ever send away a rabbi without giving him something. So I gave her a pushka. She had a stack of $20 in the pushka. If somebody came up, she'd give him. I said, you have to respect every rabbi. And even if he doesn't have an appointment, give him something. Don't let him leave empty here. I come back one day from lunch. And I see some guy with a beard sitting in my showroom, and he's hacking a suda, not pizza. He has a big grub of pastrami sandwich with French fries with a side order of kishka and a Dr. Brown's black cherry soda. And he's like really with gusto eating a whole meal. So I said to Marie, what did you do? Well, who's this rabbi? She says, Saul, don't scream at me. You told me I should treat every rabbi with respect. And I gave him $20, and he said he doesn't need money, but he's hungry. Can I order him lunch? So she ordered him lunch. So, okay. So I can't scream, and I told her that you have to be respectful. So I go over to this Rav, and he ends up, he's a chash of a guy. It was Rosh Chodesh. He says, I get in Chodesh. And he starts telling me Divrei Torah and the Pasha, and myself, my kids, we developed an unbelievable relationship. He was Mamash Rodem God. And remember, he had to go around. But because of this shiksa, this Italian shiksa, she would respected a rabbi. For the next 15 years, every single Rosh Chodesh, she came up to my office to have lunch. 15 years. And if it was 2 days Rosh Chodesh, she came up both days. He didn't miss in those days, it was a Luigi Siegel to Mr. Broadway. But the unbelievable amount of kesher that myself and my children had with this person was unbelievable. We learned so much from the Divrei Torah. Why? All because I told this shiksa, treat every rabbi that comes up to the altar with respect. That's what I told them. Come up and I treat everybody with respect. You're outside your life. You're too young still. But your life, how you conduct yourself outside the yeshiva, outside the college, okay, is very, very important. That's my message. You have to know who you are. You have a derech here that you're learning from your rabbonim. I'm going to tell you, I had a story, and some of you may have heard this, but you know, we had, as a matter of fact, at this year's All-Star game, NBA All-Star game, we had David Stern's son was there, Eric Stern, for the first time, and there was a fellow sitting there in the corner. And I had no idea who he was. We had no idea who he is. But we were very nice to him. He came, he participated, he davened. I could see that he knows how to daven. And he participated in the whole thing. 2 days later, after the NBA All-Star game, we get a note from him. And we find out he's one of the top neurosurgeons in the country. He's the top neurosurgeon at the University of Pennsylvania. Top neurosurgeon. And he writes me a whole thank you, and he said he appreciated the Torah that we gave, and he repeated something. And he writes as follows, that the last line of his sentence was, and thank you for turning an all-star game into a memorable Shabbos. That's what he wrote. If we wouldn't be there, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing, it would have been an all-star game. It's an all-star weekend. There's no such thing as an all-star weekend. An all-star weekend is there. I tell my kids all the time, why? I could have been, I could have been a professor. Maybe I could have been a Rosh Hashiva. I don't know. Could have been in real estate. Could have been in nursing homes. I could have been in a million different things. Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam put me and my family into the sports business? Why? By the way, I'm the worst. I can't name you 20 players in any league. Okay? I'm embarrassed. Like I was sitting last week, I went out to MetLife Stadium, and I'm sitting with the commissioner of the NHL, who happens to be Jewish, very close friend, his name is Gary Bettman. And the guys are playing, and he's asking me questions. I don't know two players on the ice. So I really don't know two players on the ice. Okay, and at the All-Star game, my son's sitting next to a guy, and My son's standing and he comes up to his pupik, he comes up to here, and the guy's a big guy. And so I said to Stephen, who's this guy? He says, I don't know, some the biggest Wemby, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Wembiara. So why did I get into this business? Because Rabbeinu Shalom recognized that I'm here for a reason. I'm not here to sell more jerseys, and I'm not here to sell more. To sell more, whatever else is. We're here to show the world, to show everybody, and for you fellas, to understand, okay, that whatever you do is for a reason. It's to make a Kiddush Hashem. I find myself in a position, I'll tell you a great story. At Sukkot Bowl, I have a million stories. We always have, you just heard Professor say, we always have kosher, we have Shabbos, we have this and that. A couple of months ago, I have a pretty harried life on top of the sports business and on top of speaking. I'm also the chairman of Agudas Yisrael of America, and which is very, very, you know, we're the largest frum advocacy group run by the Mayetzes Gedolei Torah, as you heard, we put on the Siyum HaShas, but we do a lot of advocacy. We're always in Washington and in Albany trying to fight for the yeshivas, trying to fight for religious freedoms for everybody. And every once in a while, I get burnt out. So I take my wife and we go to the city. We go to the city for a Shabbos. We check into a hotel that's near a shul, and we order in some food. We have a little manuchas and nefesh. You need a little bit, you need a little bit to spend some time with your wife alone every once in a while. And so that's what we did. So I happened to go to the Upper West Side in Manhattan, and I walked into a gorgeous shul. Looks like a magnificent shul they just finished building. And I think, okay, I don't know anybody. I sit myself down in the back. I'm going to have a restful Shabbos, nobody's going to come and give me advice and tell me what I'm doing wrong and how I should be running my business or the agudah. And I see the rav. So I see him giving, out of the corner of his eyes, looking at me. I don't know. So I said, okay, he's just looking. He's a strange fellow. He's looking at me. He finished davening Shabbos. The rav is getting up for his brosha. And he says as follows. Because before I'm going to make my brosha today, I'd like the whole shul to stand up and give a round of applause to that guy sitting in the back who's trying to hide, Mr. Solberger. So, about really embarrassed, I'm turning red. I have no idea what he's talking about, and I've never met him before. So the whole shul gets up, and they all turn around towards me, and they start clapping. And he says, Mr. Werdinger probably wants to understand, doesn't understand what just happened. Let me explain to you what happened. He says, 4 years ago at a Super Bowl, he says, this Saul Werdinger was sitting in the suite with the commissioner, Roger Goodell, who happens to be a really dear friend. And he says, one of the people, I'll explain to you in a minute, who was in that suite, and the commissioner, and I, of course, I wear my yarmulke, so the commissioner introduced me, and I see this guy, he says hello to me, and he brings over his wife, and we're talking for a few minutes. The commissioner walks away, he says to me, you have any idea where I could get kosher food here? Look at him. I said, I have no idea who he is. I said, sure, come with me. We'll go two or three suites down. And kosher food, he never ate like this in his life, this guy. Yeah, we had a suite, and my kid Baruch Hashem take care of the food ordering, and there's a lot of food. Okay. So he had a suda kiyada melech. Him and his wife, he had a shtapta suda, and he exchanged cards and everything else. The rabbi goes on to say as follows. This fellow had just become from maybe a month ago before the Super Bowl. He had just become from a month before the Super Bowl. And there was Rabbi Buchel, somebody from the West Side came and kashered his kitchen, him and his wife, and they started eating kosher. And he shows up at Super Bowl with the commissioner of the NFL. And all they have in the suite is shrimp and space and all the other macholim. And he can't eat. And he says, what am I going to do? He turns around to his wife. He says, we just became kosher 4 weeks ago. He says, what am I going to do? I'm going to eat. I'm starving. I'm hungry. And everything. I said, all of a sudden, some guy with a yarmulke shows out of nowhere. Some guy shows up. I ask him, do you know any kosher food? He says, if it wouldn't have been that I met this guy, Saul Werdinger, there, I would have fallen off the wagon. And if I would have fallen off the wagon, and I'm still looking at the rabbi, what does this have to do with me? Says, after davening, come outside with me and look at the plaque of the guy that just donated the shul. Look at the plaque. Look at the name of the guy that gave $10 million to build this shul. That's the guy that you saved. Says the guy keeps on telling me, it says, I haven't kept touch with Saul Werdiger, but if you ever see Saul Werdiger, you can tell him the shul is all because of him, because had he fallen off the wagon. So why am I in the sports business? That's why I'm in the sports business. I'm in the sports business so I can make a Kiddush Hashem. You never know. You plant the seed. You go where you go. The message is everything has a reason. There's a reason the Rabbanu Shalom puts you wherever he puts you. Whatever you are in life, there's a reason for it. I'll tell you one more cute story, and this one you may have heard because this gives me the most nachas. There was a woman, very close, I think they lived here in Queens, the Rebbetzin Yungerai. She lived in Queens, no, from Rockaway. Anyway, she had a program called Hineni. And she said to me, so you can make a tremendous impact on little kids. They come up to my office and they see the jerseys. I take them upstairs to the design department and they see where they create all the art around the different leagues. And, you know, you can really make an impact on kids. And she started a program in my office, which she would bring up once a month, once every 2 months. She brought up families, a father, a mother, and their kids. She would order up some supper. I would tell them stories. We would talk. And you can make a big impact on these kids. So, I don't remember after she was the terrorist, my daughter continued the program. And a couple of years ago, I don't know what it was, I had this couple come up with a son and a daughter. And this kid was pestering me with stories. He must have been a real sports addict. He's telling me, so when you go to, I don't know, Super Bowl, what do you do? He goes, yes, I do. When you go to All-Star, what do you do when you go there? He says, when you go to the World Series, I said, yes, wherever we go, we have kosher food. Either we bring our own, or the league knows that we have kosher food. And this kid is literally, I have that patience of a saint, and he really drove me crazy. And he tells me, so I tell him the following story, my brother's story. I tell him, he says to me, in the World Series too, you have Major League Baseball? I said, yeah. I said, I'll tell you the story. I said, Major League Baseball, there's always a problem with kosher food. Some of these guys get what's called kosher style food. You know, kosher style, it's not kosher style. It's not, so we went to a World Series, I think it was in Chicago. And Chicago's a big Yiddish town, you know. So I walked in with my son. And my son says, that Tati, look, there's a kosher hot dog stand here. Just in case they don't have the good food, let's buy some hot dogs. I walk over to the hot dog vendor. My son, the guy recognized me. There's not too many guys with the hamkas in this world. Hey, Mr. Werdiger, I'm so sorry. I said, what's the matter? He says, I'm sold out. Sold out. World Series game in Chicago, a big food community. How could you be sold out of hot dogs? He tells me, I don't know. He says, we know we have a cheshbon. Exactly, we know how many hot dogs we sell. Some meshugana came here about 15 minutes ago and bought 40 hot dogs. He says, 40 hot dogs, we're sold out of hot dogs. I said, okay, what am I gonna do? I come upstairs to the MLB suite. And the commissioner, Rob Manfred, comes over and he says, Saul, don't you ever complain, I bought you 40 hot dogs. So I tell the kid this story. Okay, good. He laughs with this. We talk, and the kid leaves. 2 weeks later, my secretary tells me there's somebody on the phone. He sounds like, wow, he's really angry. He says he has to talk to you. So I ask who he is. She says, she comes back and she says, he said that he's the father of this kid that was making me meshugah. He's the father of this kid that was making me meshugah. So I pick up the phone and in a very angry voice, it's Saul Werdiger, you, I don't want to say what he said, you owe me $50,000. I said, I owe you $50,000. What did I do? He says to me as follows, and this is on one of, I think this I wrote in one of my chairman's texts. He says, my kid, my son, ever since he's been in your office, has been driving my wife and myself crazy. So I don't understand. The Werdigers, wherever they go, Super Bowl, World Series, they have kosher. He says, I'm being bar mitzvah in New York City, and my bar mitzvah is not kosher. Says his father, how could that possibly be? How could that be? So I said, wow, that's the greatest thing I've heard. He says, yeah, but the kosher caterer wants $50,000 more than the regular caterer. I don't know what he was talking about. I never heard of a mitzvah. He says to me, so I don't know what to say. I wasn't sure if he's serious or not. I said to him, Mr. So-and-so, it would be an unbelievable honor for the Werdinger family to sponsor the kosher bar mitzvah for your son. He says to me, I said, well, as soon as we hang up the phone, I'm going to switch you into my assistant. You give her the wire instructions. What a covet and honor for us to afford your son the kosher bar mitzvah. The man broke down crying. Says, Saul, I'm making a bar mitzvah in the Pierre Hotel. A mitzvah is going to cost $1 million. $1 million. Let's finish the story. He says, I was kibitzing with you. I'm a very, very wealthy person. Very wealthy person. I'm calling to tell you that because of you, this is going to be the first kosher affair in our family in generations. He says, generations. He invites us to the mitzvah. My wife and I go. And we go to the Pierre Hotel, and he wasn't exaggerating. The food may have been kosher, the entertainment definitely wasn't. but I stayed in touch with this kid. He's not where he went to yeshiva. First, he went to day school. And you don't understand. What did we do? What did we do? We do what we're supposed to do. Wherever you have to do what you're supposed to do. We're in this point. So, what do we do different? We don't know any different. We eat kosher. We close on Shabbos, okay? We close on Shabbos. We close on Yom Tov. There's college games going on over the weekend. There's games going on. I'll never forget. I just remind myself this story. Yankees were in the World Series, and the last game was Motzei Shabbos. We have to, at the end, when they finish the World Series, we have to print. You know, you see them running on the field. You know. World Series champs, then that's not a chasma. We print both, and the one that loses, yeah, we send to, you see these kids in Africa running around with the wrong Super Bowl. we donate it to like UNICEF, you know, we give it out. The kid doesn't know, where's he going? He walks around, he's just like, you know, he doesn't know the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. He thinks that the other thing, well, he got it for a free t-shirt. But we have to print the minute the game's over, we have to print the shirts. And it's Motzei Shabbos, and I couldn't care less. I wait, and I come home after Abdullah, and my wife says to me, Lemmy, the phone hasn't stopped ringing for 30 seconds. And I knew that I have to downside down in the earliest minute around the corner at somebody's house. The first month, you know, I didn't keep the 72 that Motzei Shabbos. And sure enough, the minute I walk in, the phone rings again. And I pick up the phone. Saul Werdinger, this is George Steinbrenner. I said, Mr. Steinbrenner, what can I do for you? He says, why didn't you pick up the phone earlier? I said, because it's my Shabbat. He said, I know it's your Shabbat. You told me that in order for it to be finished Shabbat, you have to see 3 stars in the sky. I'm sitting on my porch for the last half an hour. He says, I saw there were 3 stars. He still didn't pick up the phone. He realized, well, I don't know. I started to print. The Yankees were up to 7-2. Do I pull the trigger and start printing the shirts? But they know there's no compromise. The lesson that I have with you is there's no compromise. You're having a drocha. You're young chevra. Okay, you're learning in the best. Plan the college is the best of the best. You know, the best of the best. You know, Rabbi Shera always used to tell me, Rabbi Moshe Shera, who's a legend, you should buy his book and read it. And he was my mentor. He always told me, he says, Shloimi, good enough is not good enough. Good enough is not good enough. That's what you should, that's a lesson you should all learn. There's no such thing as good enough. You're all getting it conscious. There's so much effort being put into you. And it's not for naught. You should understand that who you are, what you represent, and you can't imagine what you can accomplish. I always tell my kids, what did we do? Nothing. We didn't even think that we even doubt for 1 second that because we're going to the Super Bowl or the All-Star game or the World Series, that we're not going to eat kosher. That's who we are. We eat kosher. You know, we close on Shabbos. We don't print, you know, we don't pick up. That's who we are. But you can, in any business, anything you do, I was coming back from Miami couple of weeks ago, and I saw some Chassidish couple walking on, and they had three or four little kids in tow with them. And all dressed spanking neat. And the stewardesses said, here, they were all very respectful. I heard people saying, wow. I heard people saying, wow, what a nice Jewish couple, look at their kids, so respectful. So you don't realize that every move you made is being looked at, and the Kiddush Hashem that you can make. And so I think my message here is today, I'll end with I'll take some questions if we have time for a few minutes. And I don't want to interrupt your shir. The shir that you have, what's the shir? What? There's no shir? 115. Okay, so we still have a little bit, not much. In the parsha this week in Kisisa, it talks about the eagle. And it talks about how Klal Yisrael went from the heights of spirituality and all the way down to the depths of despair. How could Jews have idol worship? How could they have the eagle? How does this happen so quickly? And I think that there's a whole back and forth at the time, but one of the reasons is because Moshe Rabbeinu got delayed up in Shemayim getting the Torah. And they were without a Rebbe. They didn't have a Rebbe. And therefore, not having a Rebbe, they panicked. They panicked and they. The key is, whoever, listen to me carefully. The key is you gotta keep a kesher with your Rebbeim. You have to keep a kesher with your yeshiva. You have to keep a kesher with your chaver. You can't leave the yeshiva, whatever that is, and go out and say, oh, I'm a big balabos today. As quick as you attain your level of spirituality, your level of Yiddishkeit, going outside in the outside world, you could just as quickly lose it. There's no better example than this expasha and the eagle. So my message to you is two things. First of all, keep a kesher with your yeshiva. Keep a kesher with your chaver, with good chaver. Keep a kesher with your good chaver. Okay? Keep a kesher with your rabbeim. And most important is always remember who you are. Always remember to be consistent in everything you do in life. You're the same way when you leave the yeshiva as you are in the yeshiva. And with that, again, listen, I'm no genius, and for sure Sam will tell you that. I'm definitely no genius. And the Rabbeinu Shloimeh, I think, recognized, which he will in Mir Tzah Hashem soon with all of you, that whoever he gives, whatever brachas he gives to you, whether it's your, whatever you do in life, he's doing it because he knows that you're going to do the right thing with it. You're going to take whatever gift Rabbeinu Shloimeh is giving you, and you're going to take it and use it to make a Kiddush Hashem daily in your lives. And with that, I'm sure the Rabbeinu Shloimeh will bless you all with bracha and slacha. And thank you for listening, and I'll take some questions if you have any. Questions? Sure. Don't guess me names of players.
I'm over it. I won't ask you any expert prospects. Before you hit the level where you're having the privilege of spending time in the streets of commissioners and stuff, getting up to there, how do you cope where every networking event, every group of people around is not kosher, maybe not sneered, something like that?
I was consistent. I'm not telling you it's easy. Today, because of families like ourselves and businesses like ours and other people, it's a lot easier. Plenty of nut shops running around. One guy's vegan, the other guy eats only in space, a Hindu, whatever it is. Today, the guys are walking up. Today, it's much easier because everybody has their. It wasn't easy, but I was consistent. I'll tell you, I have 2 minutes. Yeah, I told over this story. You may have heard it. It was my first Super Bowl in Arizona 28 years ago. So I wasn't yet in the commissioner's suite, and I was just a new licensee at the NFL. And they told me that the main event that the NFL puts on is called the Saturday Brunch. Saturday Brunch. Okay. It's a Shabbos brunch. I'm saying to myself, what should I do? It's my first year. I'm a licensee. I don't want to insult them and not show up to this thing. It's like a very important event. So I don't know what to do. So I Googled it before Shabbos. It looked like it was a two-mile walk from the hotel. I said, okay, you know what? I went to shul in the morning. Chabad, Baruch Hashem, has a minyan everywhere, definitely in Arizona.
I went to Davin, I came back, I made Kiddush for my wife, and I said, I'm gonna walk to this event. So I start walking in Arizona, it's pretty hot, schwitzing pretty good. And as I'm walking, guys are passing me by, they roll down the window, so you wanna lift? I said, it's my Sabbath. I'm reminded of the coffee shops. And the second guy comes, and by the time I show up to this commissioner's party, I'm drenched. And everybody knows that the Saul and Meshuggah just walked here 2 miles. So the commissioner comes running over to me. Says to me, Saul, I heard you walked here 2 miles. Very nice of you. I said, commissioner, the worst part is that I have to walk back the same 2 miles. I have to walk back the same 2 miles. And he was very despondent. The next year, one of my assistants who arranges all these things says to me, she doesn't understand. She got a call from the NFL office. Wanting to know which, because the NFL has like a bunch of hotels that they assign you to. You pick a hotel and you get a hotel. So they called up the commissioner's office asking which hotel and you stay in. Okay, tell them which hotel. She calls back, she calls me up, and she says to me, I said, could you please find out why they asked that? Because the commissioner said that whatever hotel Saul is staying to, that's where we're going to make the brunch. Why should you have to walk a chance? So you ask me a question. If you're consistent and they see that you're eloch about it, you're real about it, you're not just doing it to get whatever it may be, to get out of something. But if they see you're sincere, you don't have to bend to them. If they see that you're honest and you're true and you're a moral person and an ethical person, they'll bend to you. They'll respect what you're doing. That's what happens. It doesn't happen overnight, but that's what happens. I hope that answers your question. Anybody else? Okay, with that, oh yes, please. Sorry.
How do you kind of, you, I would call it led if necessarily, but then would you consider that to be kind of the main purpose now? And that kind of what did a business get you there for benefit?
Combination, listen, Ascones is a thankless job. You know, it says that for a reason, it says every Shabbos, Kol Mishoskim, B'Tzor, Hetziv, B'Emuna. What does it say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yisham, Tzor. You know, Rabbi Sher always told me that if you think that you're going to get reward for it, but it's part and parcel. It's part and parcel. Yes, of course, by having a successful business and being out. By the way, my most successful work for the Aguda, in terms of lobbying, and whether it's in Washington, or next week I'm seeing the governor, or whatever it may be, politicians, it's sports. It's crazy. In other words, you could walk into a room. I'll never forget I don't know when the last time the Washington Redskins won the Super Bowl, but there's a thing in the NFL that whatever team wins the Super Bowl goes in to see the President of the United States. The President of the United States, the only job that he wants to have is the commissioner of the NFL. The president would rather be the commissioner than to be the president of the United States. So one year, I don't remember which team won it. The commissioner invited me to come along with, I'm blanking out, I don't remember exactly why. And I walk into, with the commissioner to the Oval Office. And the commissioner says, I think it was Bush. President Bush, I'd like to introduce you to the rabbi of the NFL. The president says, Commissioner, I know Saul longer than you. So the sports piece of it is great. You're kidding, I take the governor to a football game, I go with the sports actually help me in my escondes for the Aguda, because when I walk into a room, instead of a bunch of rabbis walking in, I have an immediate connection to all of them that sports is crazy, but everybody in the country is a sports fan. So they really go hand in hand. But yes, I mean, at this stage in my life now, you know, of course the business, but the working from behalf of clients who consumes most of my time. Matter of fact, from here, I'm going straight to the good office on 42 Broadway. And it's part and parcel of giving back to the Rabbanu Shalom for everything that he's taking. So, yes.
Share starts. Okay, share starts. I'm not interrupting. Thank you. We'll have a good job, everybody. Oh, no problem, no problem.